You were on before.
Yes. Yes. All right.
You're always on, dear.
Yes. I'm so glad you've noticed. So glad you've noticed. Oh, dear.
Oh, what a year we had, and what a year we're going to have. I just believe that this coming vision year is probably one of the most or the most important year that we've ever celebrated. As you see, nature is going wild. Nations are going wild. Solar flares are happening in the sun. All kinds of things are happening. And I want you to know, it just means that Jesus is coming back pretty soon. Now, I'm not saying necessarily he's coming back this year. I don't know. But with what's happening, part of the vision for this year will help us prepare to know how to handle different things that come our way, as well as how to help other people handle things. As you see in the bulletin, Kingdom life flows and impacts the world with life. So we're excited about this year, but we want to try to make the vision as plain as we can, and then your pastors are going to teach you how to impart all of the stuff that we're going to give out and how to take it in and make it part of your life.
Notice on the back of your bulletin, there's a very special place reserved just for you. You're so welcome. Because the vision that we're giving you today is large. What we give you today is going to be an overview of what is coming, but you're going to need to remind yourself what is coming. So you need to take notes today.
Oh boy, notes. Thought we were back in school.
Yes, we are. We are.
You know, as you see the fountain up here, it's a little bit like the kingdom spilling into the world's kingdom and making an impact. And that's what we want to remind you. This is not only something that you hear what is going to happen out there, but it's going to happen inside of you, as well as you impacting the world around you. It's a very interesting thing as we remember what we learned last year, the five keys. Who can very well say the five keys very fast?
Good job.
That's good.
I heard it.
So everybody say grace.
Grace.
Faith.
Faith.
Prayer.
Prayer.
Love.
Love.
Authority.
Authority.
Now, we had keys that were given to us last year to unlock those certain attributes of the kingdom. And we aren't done with those five things. It's just that this year it builds on those five things. How many know that we don't have all of those five things perfected yet? Yeah, we don't. But what we're going to share this year will help us grab a hold and perfect those things.
What we have is a greater understanding of those five keys. But how to effectively use those five keys in our everyday life is what this year is about.
You know, it would be nice for us to get up here and just let loose. Woo! Do a good preaching. But that's not going to help us, because we got to grab a hold of what God is saying. We'll let Pastor Matt, Pastor Todd, and the other pastors get all excited and let them rip it up. But we're going to try to give it out in a fashion that you can remember. Because the first concept that I want to just share is probably a very hard concept to grasp. And that's living in the kingdom while the kingdom lives in us.
Oh, that's a good line.
Living in the kingdom while the kingdom lives in us. You see, it's not in a time-space dimension. It's in a spiritual dimension. How can we have the kingdom living in us and us living in the kingdom? It can only happen in the spirituals that we talk about. And one of the verses that says about where the kingdom is in Luke 17, 20 and 22. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is inside of you," or in your midst. So where is the kingdom?
Right here.
If the kingdom is inside of you, how can you be in the kingdom?
Okay, ask God.
You see, that's what we have to begin to grasp. We are spiritual people living in a spiritual world dimension as well as in a time-space dimension here in this earth. And because God is in the spiritual realm, it's not hard for heaven to even think in these terms, because they operate in these terms all the time. It's hard for us because we live in a sense realm and not necessarily a spiritual realm. But we have to learn how to live in that spiritual realm.
I'm going to give you another good sentence. The kingdom is in you. That's what that scripture just told us. You live in kingdom reality when you're listening to the Holy Spirit and Father God, and you spill out kingdom reality on the world everywhere you go, not just when you go to church. You spill it out everywhere that you go, because it's what is in you. Sometimes for me, there are other things that come out.
No.
No, couldn't be. But yes, sometimes for all of us, we recognize that we have just spilled or thrown up something right in front of somebody else. And this year is going to be a shift in our comprehension of how the kingdom in us wants to appear to those around us. And that is an intentional choosing and a progression of victory. It's not probably tomorrow that you're going to go, "Oh, I got that." But I am believing God that there is going to be a hunger in us this year to see it come out more and more, to see kingdom reality that we know is true spill out in every way and in every place that we go.
So what's this kingdom look like? What is this kingdom? We can find it in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It's not dealing with physical things. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this year, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit that indwells us and creates a righteousness, creates a peace that passes all understanding, and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy in the midst of all kinds of hassles. Like Matt. I mean, he can get up and say, hey, my car was stolen last night, and still have a smile on his face.
God's bigger.
That is kingdom. That is what the world is looking for. That is what we're going to learn to do and to be, because it's not something that is easily picked up. You see, the Holy Spirit, all these things are in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Holy Spirit, how's he going to do that? Well, he was sent here by Jesus. The king is seated on the throne. How many know that? But he sent the Holy Spirit here to live inside of us, to help us grasp the spiritual reality of righteousness, peace, and joy, and those other five things that we talked about last year. And there's many more than that. But we can only bite off as much as we can bite off and chew. And so this is plenty to chew on this year. But you have to understand, the Holy Spirit is put within you. We're to follow him as we follow a lord or a governor. In other words, the king sent a boss to live on the inside of you. Do you realize you're not your own? You say, I'm my own person. No, you're not. Not if you're in the kingdom. Because you've been bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus. So you're not your own. And God knows how hard it is for us to grasp and to work out some of these spiritual truths. So he sent God the Holy Spirit to live within you to help you. In fact, that's what the name means. Paraclete, one who comes alongside to help. When it comes to righteousness, when it comes to peace, when it comes to joy in slow-moving traffic, guess who I need? And you have your own problems. So, in understanding that, that is part of the vision, to get this understanding of this. Now,
you know, the Jews were a lot like us. When that verse in context is talking about a whole lot of behavioral things, that they're going, who's the good guys, who's the bad guys, how do we act, what do we eat, what do we do, don't make people stumble, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, it is not the natural stuff. Get your eyes on the spiritual stuff that is flowing out of you. Remember when the Pharisees said about cleaning the cup, and Jesus said, you know what, you clean the outside of the cup, but let's be clean in the inside. Stop looking around at everybody else's cup. And start cleaning the inside of our own cup so that what comes out of us is not judgment and criticism and meanness and selfishness and ugliness. Oh, those are sins?
Yeah, but don't we live under grace?
Yeah, but that righteousness that belongs to us is right standing with God and right actions in this life. So we have to allow the righteousness that's in us by faith to manifest in right actions toward the people in this world. I want to get mad at sinners, but you know what? Sinners sin. That's what they do. And I used to be really good at it myself. So I have to train my brain to love people right where they are. Not approve of what they're doing, but offer them hope.
She practiced on me.
I did practice. And he did better than I did really quickly. But God is faithful as we intentionally allow him to reveal that to us. God will not make us spill out kingdom realities, ever. He'll let us do it by accident so that we can taste the goodness of it, but he wants us to purpose in our hearts to hear his voice and respond, to say what he says, to pray what he prays, to respond instead of react, to to what happens in our lives. God has a higher calling for us as citizens of the kingdom.
You see, we're children of the king. So the king sent someone to help children of the king know how to act as children of the king. And it's just like we mentioned in that scripture about righteousness. Not only do you have righteousness and do you carry out righteousness, you yourself are righteous because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you say, well, how does this all come together? That's your pastor's problem. That's not our problem.
They'll help you.
They'll tell you how it all comes together. We're just laying it out there. You know, not everybody will ever be able to see the kingdom of God. In John 3:3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." In other words, the people out there don't realize there is a spiritual dimension inside of you. They can't see it unless you're born again. And if you're here today and you're not saved or you're not born again, you will have no understanding in what we're saying.
They're going to think, what are those crazy people talking about?
So if you really want to have understanding in what we're saying and you're not born again today, you need to be born again before you leave today.
Yes.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So it's interesting in John 3:3, it says that they can't see the kingdom if you're not born again. In John 3:5, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, that didn't say he's not saved. It says he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So you can, if in that scripture, you can't enter it unless I believe it's, I know there's some differences of opinion here, but what I see in that, unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and baptized in water, you will not understand the reality of the dimension of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God on the inside of you. You say, well, why is that? Well, baptism cuts off your past. It seals the past. It deals with the past. It deals with the hurts. It deals with all that stuff that has gone down in your life before. So, and baptized in the Holy Spirit gets you immersed in the power of God. And you say, well, okay, what's the difference between being born again and being baptized in the Spirit? Well, being born again is when the Holy Spirit comes to live in the inside of you. Being baptized in the Spirit is when you're totally immersed in the power of God and you begin to work that power into a world that doesn't even understand it. And so here we see there's a great type example about this very thing. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And it talks about, well, I'll read it to you.
Fourth chapter.
For the kingdom, what did I say?
10.
1 Corinthians 10. No, I was right. 1 Corinthians 10.
Oops, sorry.
Man.
Oops.
Peace, peace.
Just be still, do.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. The cloud is a type of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into the cloud and in the sea. And so what we see here is picture of water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. The cloud that was in the wilderness overtopped the fire by day, the fire by night, the cloud by day. It was the leader that led the Israelites to where they were supposed to go, what they were supposed to do. And so you see, that is the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And of course, the water baptism sealed off the Egyptians for coming after them. And that seal said their past was done and they were now free. But free is not free to just do whatever you want. Free is to do the will of God.
Ooh, that's another good one. Free to do the will of God. You know, there's so many things that stop us. Fear. Who do we think we are? Our own inadequacies. I don't know enough to do that. How many excuses do you hear to not do the will of God? You know. You hear what to do, but you don't act on it because the other voices are louder. Water baptism drowns those other voices. You still have to call them dead, but it drowns them, which is an awesome thing.
You know, there's a lady sitting in the congregation here that was afraid to put her head under the water in water baptism. Now think of that. There was a fear that consumed her that she would not put her head under the water. But she wanted water baptized. So she finally fought that fear, and she was water baptized. And you know what happened? She no longer had the fear that kept her from it.
That's right. Delivered.
Because that's what water baptism does. It takes away that fear of the past and that fear that seems to want to control. Again, the difference between born again and Holy Spirit baptism. Born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're totally immersed in the power of God. And 1 Corinthians 4:10 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." So this year, we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit, but we're going to learn about the power that He has put within you to use and to show the world that you are righteous, that you can have joy and peace in the midst of anything that goes on in life.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Because there might be some, I mean, there's some not good things that have happened in Texas and Florida. But I've heard testimonies of people coming out of that that had joy in the midst of losing everything materially, but had joy in the fact that their family was saved. So it doesn't really matter what we have to go through if we allow this spiritual dimension to encapsulate everything of who we are and what we think and what we do. Is the kingdom necessary? Well, it manifests God's love to impact the world. It shows the world that God is good because we're not worried. Do we do that? Can we do that? Not worry. How many here? No. Don't raise your hand. At different times in our life, there are things that come into our life that we are tempted to worry about. All different kinds of things. But God has an answer for that. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." God knows what you need. But now, I want you to just listen to that first phrase. "Therefore, do not worry, saying." How do you let worry begin to overcome you? You talk about it. You say it. "Do not worry, saying." Oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to get my car back. Oh, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay for another one. Oh, man, I don't know about the disease that I have or the sickness. I don't know. As you say it, you begin to believe it into existence, and worry begins to overcome you. But listen to this. Matthew 6:33, the next verse. But seek first. Everybody say first.
First.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
God wants to release us to demonstrate and be the sons and daughters of the kingdom. God's original intent, I've been studying a lesson to prepare for a change of pace Bible study. God's original intent in the Garden of Eden was that Adam and Eve would manifest the glorious God that they knew in this world, and they would, through that power, be able to take dominion and bring the whole world to Jesus. Then sin came. So what happened when Jesus came? We are restored to God's original intent. God's plan is that we, his body, would manifest to the world his glorious love and his goodness in such a way that the whole world would come to know the reality of God and how much he loves them. So we've got a little way to travel this year in getting to where we're more and more expressing that love as God intends. But, you know, I love the slippery slope, and I've tried to put this out of my head 5 times, so I just give up. I'm just going to give it to you. I don't even know what it means. Charles Stock and I were talking about realities one day. You know, and Charles is such a woo-woo guy. He's so fun to talk to because
he's the pastor of the Life Center.
He is thinking out of the box. Not how things normally work, but he thinks outside. And so we're talking about this dimension of kingdom reality that we've tasted and we've seen manifest and we've experienced, but we don't experience it enough. We want it more. We want to get to that place where we're walking by the Spirit like Jesus did. Every day I hear what you say and I do what you say, wherever I am. Every day I hear your voice and I respond to your voice the way you want me to. So we're talking about the dimension that we live in. And science has proven that there's more than one or two dimensions. There's 5 or 6 or 7. And Charles is saying, you know, picture a book sticking up with all the pages. And if I take this page up here and I'm at the top of this dimension, and all of a sudden this page comes up and taps that one, I can jump to another dimension. I went, Charles, I don't know. He said, but we have stories of people being transported in kingdom realities and appearing in another place at a time when they are needed, and they weren't sure if it was a dream or not. Look at Peter getting rescued from the jail cell. His chains came off. He got led out of the place. He's knocking on the door, and they won't even let him in because they don't think he's really there. But he is really there. When he came out, he thought he was just having a dream, and then he went, wait a minute, I'm on the outside. Something supernatural happened that I can't explain to you. I don't have a way of understanding how that gate opened by itself to let him out. I don't know. I think he jumped the page, like Charles was talking about. But I just want to spur you into, there's a godly hunger for supernatural reality that needs to be in every one of us. We should not be satisfied with living in the natural realm and just being good. Who needs it? Well, maybe some days I need it. But that I want more to have the supernatural reality impact my life at every turn. That it's not just a natural world that I live in. And I have to say, God is so faithful. I am such a brat. I throw my little temper tantrums and I have all my own stuff.
No, not you.
Stop it. Don't tell. But the instant my heart turns back to God, he dumps something supernatural right on me. He is not stingy. We're in a store looking at a picture that was on a wall, wasn't there. I took Mark to show him because I liked it. And I'm thinking, oh, it was just me. It wasn't for me. It was for somebody else. And I said, I wanted you to see that, Mark. And so this man is standing there in the middle of the aisle not doing anything. I don't know who this man is at all. And I looked at him and I said, there was a picture in that back room on the wall and it's not there. And I just saw it there a couple days ago. He said, I just took that picture down. I went, Mark, okay. So he went right to a storage room and brought it out and showed it to me and sold it to me for half the money it was listed for. So, okay, that's not a big, important, hairy deal, but that's like supernatural to me. Yes. That is not just something that happens. That is not just something that, no. God wants to intervene in our lives every day in normal. I mean, that's just a natural, simple thing. But he wants to be there to give us those kisses from heaven that just blow our minds with, like, how did that timing get arranged? There's a bouquet on this table up here today. I asked Naomi Sechrist to make me a bouquet for Sue Wise because Sue hasn't been here for several weeks and real flowers die really fast. And so we were talking about what Sue likes and I said, I want it to be something she'll really like. And we talked about big and full, little and simple. I said, simple. She's eclectic. She loves history. She's got crazy history stuff all over her house. And plus, she loves antiques. And I gave her a whole list of colors that are crazy colors. So this morning, she brought me this bouquet. This is exactly like something Sue would like. But what's funny is Sue was going to be here today, which I didn't know when I asked her that Sue was going to be here today. But Sue called me this morning and said, I'm not well enough to come. And she wants us to come and anoint her after church, which we're going to do. So I'm telling you all this to say, pray, but I'm also saying nobody knew she wasn't going to be here. If she was going to be here, it's perfect. Now I'm going there, and I'm going to carry it with me to go there. I mean, I just think, who does that? Who arranges our lives so perfectly that we can't make it better? It's just God's timing. Going to Hawaii with Ione does not work. 6 days, are you going to take off 6 days in the middle of your life like I have nothing to do? No, but it just so happened those 6 days I did not have something on the calendar. So I went, okay, that's God. That has to be God. God wants us to live like that. And don't think I'm doing anything great because in the middle of that I had two meltdowns and that'd get right all over again. But I'm saying this is the process we go through on the way to where we're going. Kingdom reality in this life. That's what we want.
Let me just add this. What she started out talking about was quantum physics. Quantum physics jumping from one reality to the other. And what she started in the book thing, I'll just say this, that when you open a book and she started to explain it, but she didn't quite finish it.
That's because I don't get it. It's okay.
You're on this side of the page, but there is another side of the page that you don't see. That's another reality. And once you're on that side of the page, then you get to see the next side of the page, which you do see, which is another reality. Then there's another reality on the back. Then, if you go all through those realities, and now in science they're saying there's over 10 different dimensions, not just three dimensions, but different dimensions. And you get to the tail end of a book, you can go from the back cover to the front cover, and you have jumped to another reality. So there is an infinite number of realities, an infinite number of spiritual planes that we are just beginning to grasp and just beginning to understand. So you think you have, you're matured and you have graduated to a certain place in Christendom. I want you to know there's a lot of other realities out there that God has for you and I.
So what's that mean for this year? What are we going to learn? Well, the very first thing, and this is important to you for your notes, is that your foundation needs to be strong. You must have a biblically based foundation that cannot be shaken.
See, the whole thing with the biblical foundation, and we talked about this the last time we were here. I want you to know that if you aren't standing on your own foundation, your own biblical foundation, the world will talk you out of it. You cannot build on Pastor Matt's foundation. You can't build on my foundation or Pastor Todd's foundation, Pastor Paula, Pastor Charlie, any of the pastors. You cannot build on your husband's foundation or your wife's foundation. You have to build on your own foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, I was a wise master builder, and I laid a foundation, and another builds on it. But be careful how you build on that foundation. You see, every person has to build their own foundation in which to stand. If you don't, the scripture that I have written down here, I want you to know storms will come in your life, whether you're born again, not born again, whether you're understanding of this or not understanding of this, the storms still come. The outcome is different. Listen to this scripture. This is from Luke 6. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it because he built on his own foundation. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream, the society, the world, all the things of the world beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So this year, to grasp what we're talking about in this vision, you have to build on a biblical foundation. I want you to know that Bible that you have on your phone or on your hands or whatever is the Word of God. If you don't believe it's the Word of God, you're not going to grasp the realities that God has for us in these last days. You have to understand that this is the final, this is, what's the word I want to say? Final authority, well, that's good
Infallible.
Enough. Infallible. Well, that's good enough, too. That wasn't what I was thinking, but...
Can't help you.
Okay. Where are you when I need you?
Right here, baby. Right here.
So it is inerrant.
There you go.
It is the inerrant Word of God. You say, well, I don't know if I really believe that. We're taught in school that, you know, it was written by men. It was done this. I want you to know all those arguments can be knocked down very simply. The Bible is the Word of God, but we have to read it and understand it and with faith accept it into our life and stand on it, or these truths will slip by you and you'll never grasp what we're trying to say for this next year.
So how else are we going to get there? We're going to learn how to have peace through receiving the healing power of the Word into our own lives. We're going to learn how to manifest peace. And we do that in several ways. Learning the Word is one way. Sozo counseling, Pastor Charlie, is another way. Pastor Wendy. getting that word to come alive inside of us. Going to a professional counselor, maybe, if you've got issues you have to deal with. I don't care what you have to do to get healed, get healed. Seek Jesus for the healing, but get healed. Because the more healed we are, the more we can live the reality. The more we learn how to forgive and let go of what has happened in our lives that wasn't good, the stronger we become in the kingdom.
Remember, it said, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Be happy. Ooh. That wasn't planned.
Yeah.
So, brothers and sisters, it's going to be an exciting year. It really is. And you're going to see things this year that you didn't think you have anything to do with, but you will have a lot to do with. As long as we build on this foundation of the Word. And the Word became, you know, it says the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus. Something from the physical realm, something from the spiritual realm, excuse me, became physical in the physical realm and dwelt among us, our Lord. And he did that to show us that we are from different dimensions. Part of us is from the physical dimension that we live in. Part of us is from that spiritual dimension that we can't see, but we know is real because the Bible says it's real, and we can understand it because we can read the Bible, and the Bible can teach us about whatever situation we're talking about. So you have a twofold thing this year. Listen to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to you. Confirm that listening by the Word of God. And you will see things and do things that you never thought possible.
And your pastors are going to have the privilege of teaching you about all the tools God has provided for you to begin to manifest these things. Hearing God's voice, the gifts of the Spirit, the motivational gifts, team working, team building. There's multitudes of areas that we need to grow in this Word of God to accomplish this reality in each of our lives. And I'm thrilled with the opportunities that are going to be presented. The City Ladies Prayer Group on Tuesday is the joy of answered prayer, because we are going into deeper prayer dimensions than we have gone into before. If you're on the prayer chain, you know Linda Wilson has been sending us stuff that will rock your world. I mean, it is awesome prayers. It is like tearing down stuff and building up stuff and loosen the Word of God to change what is into what it needs to be in order to see things accomplished. If you're not on the prayer chain, you're missing out on a whole wealth of spiritual challenge and dimension. Get on it. Talk to Linda Wilson. But anyway, the joy of answered prayer is what's to carry us through every day. It is exciting to pray God's plan on this earth.
And see, as prayers get answered, stand with us. As prayers get answered, you see, you won't be able to hold all the goodness of God.
Woohoo!
You will spill out that goodness. You won't plan on it. It'll just come. It'll be on your tongue. You'll just begin to witness to a person, and you'll say, man, where did that come from? Did it ever happen to you? Where did that come from?
If it didn't, it's gonna.
Right before we pray, she gave a testimony. I'll give a testimony. I get equal time.
There you go.
My brother, your world impactor in Israel, before he was saved, he came to our house, and he was into all kinds of psychological healing type of thing. It was really big back then in the 70s, where you went to farms and you know,
hippie commune.
All the psychological stuff. Well, we got saved. He came to our house, and he prayed to renew or accept Jesus Christ. And He said, now, I'm going to Philadelphia with some of my friends from this psychological farm that we're living on in Canada, and that we're meeting in Philadelphia, and some of my friends, and they don't understand any of this, and I'm not going to say a word. I want you to know that. Mark, I am not going to say a word of what I said or did here. I said, fine, don't say anything. 3 o'clock in the morning, he calls us up. And he says, you won't believe what's coming out of my mouth. I'm telling him all about Jesus and all about how I got saved and all about this and all about. He said, I never planned that. He said, I didn't even want to do it. And I just smiled. It's the only time I smiled answering a phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I did smile. And it is the way that will work. You know, God will, it'll so be in you, it will pour out of you like a fountain. Like a fountain that pours and spills out. And so, as that fountain is pouring out right now, do you notice? Not a whole lot of water in this. A pump keeps pumping that water up, and it keeps flowing out. The pump of the Holy Spirit out of your innermost beings will flow, what?
Rivers
of living water. It's going to come. The Holy Spirit, the pump, will just pump it up, and it'll begin to come out. And when you're playing with one of your gigs in one of the bars, it's going to come out of you, Chris.
Amen.
It's going to come out of you.
Amen.
And you're going to say, man, where did that come from? Yeah, Holy Ghost, that's where it came from.
I love it.
So let's have a word of prayer. Hold hands. Come on down here. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father, that we're believing. Each one of us that will understand the righteousness, the peace, the joy in your Holy Spirit this year like never before.
Thank you.
And we thank you that you've given us keys to continue to unlock the kingdom in different dimensions. So we thank you and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
Let them get saved if they want to. I'll be here.
All right, isn't that a great word for the year? I love it again because the kingdom is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Quick self-assessment time. What areas in your life do you say, yeah, I have righteousness and peace and joy in that area? What other areas in your life do you say, you know what, I might have righteousness, but I don't have peace, or maybe I don't have joy in this area? You know, maybe in the words that I speak, I have righteousness and I have peace and joy. I'm saying the right stuff. But maybe in my thoughts, I have a lot of anxiety or worry. You know, maybe in my marriage, I have righteousness, peace, and joy. I love my wife, and it's great. It is. You're awesome, babe. But maybe in some of my relationships with siblings, with work people, with my neighbors, it's not that peaceful. And the list goes on and on. So self-assessment, look in your soul and say, where do I have the kingdom coming forth? And where do I still need to work on it? Where is this year, or where this year, is God going to take me and say, you know, those areas where I don't have it, this time next year, I am going to have the kingdom in that area. I am going to have righteousness, right standing, and doing right actions. I am going to have peace in an area that I haven't had for 20, 30 years. I am going to have joy where I gave up. Didn't have hope, now I have joy and hope restored. Because this year, I am walking in the Holy Spirit in all areas of my life, not just segmented. So, Father, we just add that to our prayer as well this morning, that we are standing in the kingdom of God. God, forgive us for whatever led to us segmenting the kingdom and shutting the kingdom off in those areas that we don't experience righteousness, peace, and joy yet. God, we're sorry. And we are opening up ourselves to that now and saying, God, yes, this year we are surrendering to you that we will experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives so we can walk in that power and authority and might that Pastors Mark and Abby shared. And we get to experience you in a different realm and reality, the reality where heaven comes to earth in every aspect. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now also, as Pastor Mark and Abby said, if you are not saved, or you're saying, you know what, I don't have any aspect or any area in my soul right now that I experience righteousness, peace, and joy, Abby wants to pray specifically for you and with you and saying, yeah, you know what, I don't have peace anywhere, joy anywhere. I need Jesus. Please come forward for that. If you need any other specific prayer, we do have prayer ministry teams here. Right after this, you're going to go pick up your kids, but also, I think it's funny, it says kingdom is not eating or drinking. But also, the scripture says, eat, drink, and be merry. So right outside, if you go down the steps and hit right outside here on Vine Street, we have ice cream sundae bar set up. So please get your kids, if you have them, bless the teachers. Head out there and just enjoy fellowship with each other, love on each other. I'm excited for this year because we're going to experience freedom and breakthrough and righteousness, peace, and joy. Have a great day. Have a great week. You guys are awesome.